$6. Are we ready, Clay? No. He's getting closer. He's getting closer. You go ahead and open your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. Hey, now I can catch up. You ready? Go ahead and open your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. Here we are. Here's the context. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas have been sent out on their first missionary journey. They come to the city of Antioch. Antioch of Pisidia. And just as their custom was, when they would go into a city, they would look for religious Jews. They knew those Jews would have a place of worship. The Jews referred to their places of worship as synagogues. And so they would go and they would look for that synagogue, and they would go in to those religious Jews. After a reading of the law and the prophets, probably a section of each on this occasion, the leaders of that synagogue, they came to Paul and Barnabas, and here's what they said. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Look at that. If you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. These rulers of the synagogue, they must have understood what hopefully we understand. That everyone needs a little exhortation from time to time. I'm glad that I live in the country that I live in, the nation that I live in, and I'm glad that every so often we have these years where we call them campaign cycles, but are any of you like me? You're just about ready for that thing to be over. Amen. One way or the other. Let's get this over with. I don't know. If there was a candidate out there that would come on and say something like this, this is one man. I'm just speaking for one. I can't speak for everybody. But this is one citizen of these United States. That if a candidate was to come out and just say, you know what? There are a lot of things wrong in this country. But there are a lot of things right in this country as well. Let me tell you about a few of those. Man, in contrast to what we're hearing in our day and age, I'd be compelled to at least listen to that individual and what he had to say. Hey, I got a little good news for you. I got a little exhortation for you. Because, folks, I really am convinced that one of the greatest tools that Satan uses against his people is that of discouragement. And fear and faithlessness, the lack of faith, they just kind of descend on God's people when they're not encouraged, when they're discouraged. I do a lot of reading, and I read one time somewhere, I read about an ancient legend that talked about a peasant who had a cart, and it was led or pulled along by a poor old oxen. But this peasant decided he was going to make his way to Constantinople. As he began to make his way, he came upon an old woman who was traveling in the same direction and to the same destination, Constantinople. And he invited the old woman up into his cart with him. He hadn't traveled very far, though, till the man became fearful and nervous. He asked the old woman, "What is your name?" And the old woman said, "My name is Cholera." He immediately said, "Hey, get out of my cart. You're not riding with me. You get down and walk." But the old woman convinced the peasant to allow her to ride along with him, with the promise, "I'll only kill 5 people in all of Constantinople. I'll only kill five people. In fact, to assure you that I'm telling you the truth, I give you a dagger. And if I kill more than five people, you can kill me with this dagger. We'll meet up in 2 days. 2 days passed by, and 120 people had died in the city of Constantinople. The peasant and the old woman, they met up, and the peasant was ready to take the knife and to kill the old woman by the name of Cholera. And Cholera spoke up and said, "Wait a minute, I kept my word. I only killed five people in the city of Constantinople. The others died of fear." That may be much the way we are. There are a few of us who die, literally die, because of spiritual illnesses. And there's a whole lot more of us that die because we're afraid. We're fearful. We need some exhortation. We need some encouragement. If you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. I'm here this morning with a word of exhortation for you. I want to exhort you by telling you some things about three areas. Here's the first. I have some exhortation from you, for you folks from the harvest field. I want to begin by one of your own missionaries, Vladimir and his wife Musa, who work in Russia. I just received these pictures in the last few days. You have a new sister in Christ. Her name is Tamara. The church is growing in Russia. Do they enjoy all the freedoms we enjoy? No, they don't. They don't enjoy all the freedoms. They can't do everything that we do. They don't have the opportunities. The government of Russia makes sure they don't have the opportunities. But the church is growing in Russia. If it can grow in Russia, can it grow anywhere? And the answer is, of course it can. Of course it can. Here's another one of the mission works that you're involved in. I have a word of good news, a word of exhortation for you from the continent of Africa. We're involved with it, and we send financial support to what's called the Gospel Chariots. They build these huge, they have these 18-wheelers. The trailer on the back, the sides fold out, and a tarp is stretched out, and it makes a tent. The trailer of that 18-wheeler becomes a platform like this pulpit area here. There's a generator, lights are strung up, folding chairs are put out. And people of the African nations, where these 13 now gospel chariots, 13 gospel chariots going out across the continent of Africa, and they literally flock to this. And souls are being brought to Jesus Christ every day. Every day. When we listen to the news, we hear things like this. Or we think things like this. We think we hear things like this. The continent of Africa, it's given over to the Muslim faith. Do you know that's not the truth? That's not the truth. There was a time when that was true, but that's not the truth any longer. In 1945, it was estimated that less than one-third of all Africans believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Less than one-third. The others were of the Muslim, Hindu, or some other. Today, 80 million Africans, it's estimated, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is 72% of the population of the nation of Africa. Is Christianity making inroads? We may not agree doctrinally with each and every one of them, but is Christianity making inroads in Africa? And the answer is, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you have a hand in that. You get to be a part of that.
through your contributions, and those kind of things. Here's another. You ought to be encouraged by this. You see, those little publications you get quarterly from Truth for Today, I get to collect that stuff. I get to hear about these things. And I get to collect it, and I get to kind of have some say about which piece of news is going to go into that quarterly publication that's sent out to many of you coming into your homes through Truth for Today. Here's something we received the news about just recently. It's not that we didn't know it. It's just that we didn't know the extent of it. In Asia, Christianity and the churches of Christ are the fastest growing religious group in all of the Asian countries. In Japan, a recent survey was taken in Japan, and the majority of the Japanese now believe, will say, that Jesus is the greatest religious leader in the world. Now, folks, think about that. At the end of World War II, who would have been the greatest religious leader in the minds of the Japanese people? Wouldn't it have been their emperor? And now the majority of Japanese, we may not agree with every one of them doctrinally, but the majority of the Japanese, here's a building of the Church of Christ in Osaka, Japan. Here's another, a building in South Korea. I don't even know how to pronounce that name. But your brothers and sisters in Christ gathering for worship, even today in South Korea, in Hong Kong, you have a Bible school. In Hong Kong, it's called the Four Seas College, operated by the Churches of Christ. Its attendance this year, they're coming to study Bible, folks. They're not coming to study math. They're not coming to study science. They're not coming to study anything but the Bible. And this year, it tripled. Their attendance has tripled as of right now, over just last year. Just last year. Folks, this is true in Indonesia. It's true all over that part of the world. The Lord's church is growing. In Poland, in Gdansk, there is a 250-member congregation of the Lord's church. Out of that congregation, there is a school of biblical studies. And this is just a picture of the students who are attending that school of biblical studies in Poland. Folks, that's the former Soviet Union. I mean, just a few years ago, that's the former Soviet Union. The church is growing. In all of those countries that once made up the former Soviet Union, do they enjoy the freedoms we enjoy? No, not all of them. Most of them, that they don't. That's the truth, they don't. But that's never kept the Lord's church from growing. Because it's not about persecution. Persecution just flames the fire of evangelism. That's always been true. And even in this country of Poland, a congregation of 250 members and with a school of biblical studies that has that many, I don't even know how many that is, that many in its attending that school of biblical studies. I've got some good news for you from the churches. A little exhortation for you. From the churches. I got news for you, folks. The churches of Christ are growing. There's some naysayers out there. They'll tell you all the church is in decline. There are some rural congregations. Yes, the church is in decline. But folks, the truth is, most rural communities are in decline. We've moved to the cities. It's kind of turning around in the last few years because transportation has improved, and those folks who went to the city now want to come home. And they're driving back, and those rural congregations are beginning to grow again. Those congregations in the city where those people went, those people are still attending those congregations. They're just attending them in the cities. The city congregations have grown over the years. Why? Because that's where the people have moved to. I got good news for you. There are over 9 million people who studied the Bible through World Bible School since 1976. Do you know who those teachers are? They're people like me who use their computers, who'll take, I think I got 21 World Bible School students right now. I try to keep around 25, but they come and they go. But they just use their computer. And people all over the world, they'll take the course, and you ask for students, they'll send you the email addresses and those kind of things, and they'll send you those tests, and you grade those tests, and you communicate with those students. Since 1976, over 9 million people. Tell me the churches of Christ are not evangelistic. We're evangelistic. We're just using, and many times we're using tools that are available to us, like the internet. This is just what we know about. We know of 80,000 baptisms. That's just the ones you know about. That means they've been reported in to someone who kind of put them on a log. We know of 80,000 baptisms. Since 1983, you know who's doing that? People just like you and just like me who are studying with their friends and their neighbors, and they be a friend or neighbor who lives in another continent, halfway around the world. But they're our friends and our neighbors, and when they become Christians, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. I got some exhortation for you. There are 590,000. This is just an estimate. 590,000 Christians in India, and some say as many as 1 million. Because who would have any way of knowing? There are about approximately 90,000 Christians in Nigeria. The Churches of Christ have had a hospital in Nigeria since 1954. And through that hospital, people who come to be treated are taught the Bible, and they go back out to their villages and hamlets and communities all over that nation. They're becoming Christians today. Nigerian Christian Hospital. Look it up. Read about it. It's on your internet. Instead of getting on Facebook, how about going to God's book sometime? Get a little exhortation. You can read about Nigerian Christian Hospital. Folks, there are congregations in over 100 nations on this planet. There are congregations of the Lord's church. There is a congregation of the Church of Christ in every state in the United States and in every one of its territories. In every one of them. That ought to be encouraging to you. You ought to put a smile on your face. Listen, it's not all doom and gloom. If you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Say on. I got another piece of encouragement for you, another word of encouragement. This one comes from the throne of God itself. Let me share it with you. God says, if you're one of His children, you're a citizen of heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, wherein we look for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I keep telling my girls and my grandchildren, who are, Riley's now a Christian. Listen. We are not citizens of this world trying to get to heaven. We are citizens of heaven trying to get through this world. We need to remember that. We are citizens of heaven. Who said that? The Holy Spirit said it to the Apostle Paul. The Holy Spirit of God. God's message to the church at Philippi and to the church here at Mars Hill is remember this. Remember this. You're a citizen of heaven. I got good news for you, folks. I got some exhortation, some encouragement for you. The God of heaven says he has an inheritance laid up for you. We've been begotten unto a lively hope through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. That's good news. You have an inheritance. You're a citizen of heaven. And as a citizen of heaven, you have an inheritance laid up for you. You have a house. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in encouraging the church at Corinth, says, don't you know that if this, our earthly house of this tabernacle, were destroyed? He's talking about the physical body. If this, our earthly, don't take my word for it. There was not a chapter break there at one time, folks. That was just a letter. So look back in chapter 4 at how it ends. For though our outward man perish, that'd be the body, wouldn't it? For though our outward man perishes, yet our inward man's renewed day by day. While we look not upon the things that are seen, but upon the things that are not seen. Because the things that's seen, they're temporal. They're temporary. But the things that are not seen, they're eternal. For we know that if this our earthly house of this tabernacle, that I can see, if this earthly house of this tabernacle were destroyed, we have a building of God, a house that's not made with hands, a house that's not temporary, but is eternal in the heavens. That ought to be an encouragement to you. That ought to put a smile on our face. Man, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, say on. Say on. You're a citizen of heaven. You got an inheritance laid up for you. You've got a building of God that's eternal in the heavens. You have a future. 2 Peter chapter 3. There the Apostle Peter talks about the time will come when this earth will be burned up. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Now all the things that are therein will be burned up. Seeing that all this will come true, he says, what kind of people ought we to be? What kind of lives ought we to live? Should I really put my primary interest in how much money I can put in the bank if all that money is going to be burned up? Or should I focus in on what's eternal? For we look for a new heaven and a new earth. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 13. Folks, even if it was doom and gloom, even if all of this it was not true, even if it was all doom and gloom, we'd still be the happiest people on earth, wouldn't we? We'd still be the happiest people on earth. Let me just remind you of something. You remember a guy by the name of Stephen? What do you remember about him? He's the first Christian martyr. He's the first one who lost his life for the cause of Christ, Acts chapter 7. And as he was losing his life, what did he see? Jesus standing at the throne of God, right? Does that sound like doom and gloom? Oh, terrible. Stephen lost his life. Ask Stephen. Ask him. He saw the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God on high. John is vanquished. He's put on the Isle of Patmos. It must have been a difficult place for him to live. It must have been difficult for him to be there. And yet, in that difficulty, John saw the New Jerusalem descending out of heaven. Folks, how hard can it get? It could get a lot harder for us than it is. We moan and groan and complain about how difficult it is to be a Christian this day. Baloney. That's the Greek word for it. Baloney. In these United States, we got it easy. We got it very easy. We're fortunate to live where we live. We're not being persecuted. But if we were, that's okay. Because we see something far better. Far better. Paul is saying in Philippians 1, I'm in a strait betwixt two. Having a desire to stay here, which is better for you, or to depart and to be with the Lord, which is far better. Better. But do we believe that? I got good news for you. That's far better. That's far better. Far better. I need to give you just one other illustration, and then the lesson is yours. If you have any word of exhortation, exhort someone today. Encourage someone today. They probably need it. What do you think? They probably need it. Exhort someone. Encourage someone. Once, 8 of the Azores, Sir Walter Raleigh was commander of the ship called the Hind. There was a smaller ship called the Squirrel. The commander of it was a man by the name of Marshall. A storm came up. The winds were just taking over. The larger ship was going to be able to survive, but the smaller ship, the Squirrel, it was obvious it was not going to be able to withstand the storm. It began to take on water. Sir Walter Raleigh maneuvered his ship as close alongside as he could to the Squirrel, and he called across to the commander of the Squirrel, who was sitting in the wheelhouse reading a book. He pleaded with him to come on board the Hind. Come on board. And the captain of the Squirrel responded back, never as long as there is one of my men on this ship. And there was no way all of them were going to get off. I'll be the last one to leave, he said. But then he shouted these words to Sir Walter Raleigh, and Sir Walter Raleigh wrote them down years later. He shouted these words across to him, but don't feel sorry for me. For heaven is as near in the sea as it is in the land. Folks, that's the truth. It doesn't make any difference whether things are going great or where things are really difficult for us who are children of God. Heaven is as near. Whether in the sea, things are going difficult, or on the land where things are going great. Heaven is just as near for us in either place. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 8, says, "For whether we live, we live to the Lord." Don't we, church? Whether we live to the Lord. Or whether we die unto the Lord. Isn't that true, church? Whether we live or whether we live or we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Yes or no? I'm sorry, I thought I was talking to someone. Whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. Amen? We ought to be encouraged, folks. We ought to be encouraged. Whether it goes this way or whether it goes that way, David is the Lord's. Whether it goes this way or whether it goes that way, Bob's the Lord's. Beverly's the Lord's. Michael, Dorothy, they're the Lord's. They're the Lord's. And so we can be encouraged, can't we? We can be encouraged. I love this congregation. I love what you're doing in this community. I love what you're doing in this state. I love what you're doing in this nation. I love what you're doing around the world. Don't ever let cholera come up in that. Don't ever let her come up in there and make a deal with you. Because you know what will happen. She'll kill five. And fear will kill 100 of you. For disease has killed its hundreds. And fear has killed its tens of thousands. The only thing we need to remember is we've got everything to be encouraged about and nothing to be discouraged from. This morning, we've not talked about being a Christian, becoming a Christian, but there are some of you who are ready. Why you keep delaying your decision to become a child of God, I do not know. It's only Christians who can live today, tomorrow, and the rest of their life encouraged, upbeat, because we have a future. Because we have a future. Why wouldn't you become a Christian today? We're going to offer you the opportunity to do just that. If by hearing the word of God, faith has developed in your life, Romans 10:17. We encourage you now to repent. Acts chapter 17, verse number 30. We encourage you to confess with that mouth of yours that you believe in Jesus Christ. We encourage you to be baptized. That for the remission of your sins. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. If you're not a Christian, we're giving you the opportunity today. If you're here, you are a child of God. But you have those needs in your life that we as your brothers and sisters in Christ could help you with. We don't want you to be discouraged. We don't want you to be downtrodden. We don't want you to bear those burdens alone. Let's bear them together. How about that? How about that? If we can help you as our brother and sister in Christ, we'd just thrill with the opportunity. This morning, if you stand in need of the invitation, would you make your way to the front and do that now as together we're led in song? Let's stand together.